Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
It's Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Do you have a Hulk girl fetish?
A Hulk girl?
Or She-Hulk fetish?
Not as of late.
Because if you do, this episode's for you. That joke would have made more sense if I said it correctly in the beginning, but still.
I mean, to be honest, I don't know why I kind of find it hot. I mean, I love the picture they use in like the beginning of Memory Alpha, you know.
You notice that, like, out of the three Orion girls, only two of them speak.
Yeah. And one of the most unattractive ones speak of the three.
I mean, she's still attractive, but if you compare them to the other two.
Yeah. I mean, there's always got to be a Chloe, you know.
The main one's the hottest one. Yeah, for real.
Yeah. That's the Kim.
That's Courtney. The hottest Cardassian. Fuck. Every time we talk about Star Trek.
I keep doing that too. Instead of saying Kardashian, I always go Cardassian.
The hottest one is the one who also has the most annoying voice. It's just, they can't be all that, I guess. But I think the oldest one is the hottest one of the. We're not talking about Orion Slave Girls anymore. Or are we? You know, I don't know.
They're interchangeable. I mean,
I think the oldest one's the prettiest one, but that Calabasas accent can fucking stay home, bro. It's just, I know, like, it's totally. It's fucking genius. I remember when I first heard that, you told me, it's like, that's how they talk in Calabasas. It's like, no, they don't. The fuck, guy, that's just rich bitches. And then I was over there and I was hearing people speak, and I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. It's the slowest way of speaking I've ever heard in my life. So much extra, just
no wonder all their ex-husbands or whatever get all fucked up.
They get driven mad because they're sitting there listening.
It's like, no wonder Kanye's the way he is, you know?
Poor Kanye.
Poor Kanye.
Tell me why Kanye West says all this racist, crazy shit and everyone hates him. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to keep it 100. I'm looking right at the black community today. Okay? And I'm asking a question. All right?
Just asking questions.
Everyone was like, fuck this dude. And then he drops like some fucking track that everyone likes. Now all of a sudden, well, I mean, this track is fire. Guys, I'm speaking from the outside looking in. It don't look good. You need a better PR team because that's not working.
To be honest, and this is going to be a very unpopular opinion, but to be completely honest, the black community has always had an issue with the Jew community. You know?
That's very true. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
I'm sure there's some kind of historic relevance to that, but I don't, you know, because the Irish community in the 1800s lived alongside the black community when the slaves were freed and stuff like that. And at first they were fine, but then I guess there became some points of contention because they were competing for the same space. You know,
and then the Irish community.
Obviously, it's a little easier for Irish people because they're a little bit more Caucasian. You know, so
and
at the time,
but not to mention, they became the New York Police Department.
Exactly, and they got a little bit of power and started fucking with people. You know, so there was some mistakes made. Okay,
mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made. But yeah, it must be something
in the water.
Maybe after World War II when they come. I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know either.
I mean, it is true
that, because it's so funny, because people, I've heard people, the whole Jewish run the media conspiracy is so popular. I've heard actual people tell me that.
Yeah.
Like, not just on Twitter. You know what I mean?
And it sounds like, I heard actual people, not just the voices in my head, people. Right.
And they always say the same thing where it's like, well, you just got to look at the facts. A lot of people who are in power have Jewish last names. And I go, uh-huh. They're also culturally a very disciplined people and value schooling. That might play into it. I don't know.
Hmm.
When your schmuck ass was laying bricks for fucking 30 years, that might be why you're not in a position of power.
Well, yeah. And the thing, too, is that, like, I mean, you know, the same thing
with Asians, too. You see a lot of Asians in big positions, financial positions and stuff like that. Nobody talks about that. But it's the same reason. They're just incredibly disciplined when it comes to education.
Well, yeah.
Americans don't value education.
Yes and no. The thing is that what I was going to say was that, you know, the Jew thing. Is
the Jew thing. Say the whole word next time. To quote my homie Annie.
You know? Yeah, I was like, I know in Community where she's like, say the whole word.
It's like, you're a Jew. Say the whole word next time. That look at me dying.
What was it, Pierce used to call her a Jewy?
Jewy, yeah.
It's like, being a Jew, it's like, say the whole word next time. But the whole Jewish attitude is also popular in the Hispanic community, and to your point about education, there is a lot of that because I know in like the Irish community, Black community, and Hispanic community, you know, there is a stigma of going to school.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you're a college boy, so you think you got...
Are you better than us?
You think you're better than us. And it's like, yeah, I do. It's because I am.
Yes, I am.
It's like...
If you make it out of lower class.
Yeah.
And it's a version of envy and jealousy and stuff like that. And yeah, that does happen. We know it happens in the Black Hispanic community. It does happen in Irish American communities as well. Any poor community.
Yeah. Because
have that.
Because true parents, true family would want you to be better than them. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, I want you, you know, you should be better. Perfect example is in the movie The Godfather, when Michael ends up becoming part of the family, starts running the family business. And, you know, Don Corleone goes, I didn't want this for you. I wanted you to be better. I wanted you to be a senator or, you know, a congressman or maybe president, you know, something better. True family wants you to be better than what they are.
Yeah. If you are better than or winning more than your own children, you have failed as a parent.
Yeah.
You're doing it backwards. It doesn't make any sense for you to die and then you leave the world with these shitheads.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Which brings us back to Orion Slave Girls.
That's right. also, I just want to throw out, since we're talking about doing parenting correctly, both my twins were accepted to NAU. And both of them turned it down.
NAU?
They got it. NAU is Northern Arizona University.
Oh, why did they turn it down?
Because they don't want to go to that school. So they turned it down and they're applying to other schools. And they're like, yeah, so now, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't even know how to fucking apply to a college. I'm like, oh, word? That's cool. You know, make them better than you. Dad, that's all I'm saying.
Dad, we got into Brown University. Isn't that a historically Black college? Yeah. I'm like, okay, good for you.
Everyone is allowed to go to Brown University. Okay. They have an affirmative action. They have to get to at least 10% white people. Is it Brown where 10%. The Huxtables went?
I think so. 10%.
And I'm not going to say Cosby. Fuck him. I'm talking about the Huxtables. Okay.
You have to have 10% of that other box. You know.
Oh, Jesus. If you don't like that, go to Boston College. You know,
dance around on the building tops like AOC.
That's so, right.
You know,
thank God.
Do something good for our culture. So before we get into the episode, I wanted to kind of let people know the More Star Trek channel is up on Pluto TV, which is showing Deep Space Nine 24/7. It's because I checked it like last week and I didn't see it, but this week I was turned it on and then I saw Deep Space Nine and they were in the seventh season of DS9. And I was looking at it because they had just killed off Jadzia and brought in Ezri. And I was watching. I was like, oh, shit. I go, okay. And then I saw it was under more Trek. And every so often, they bring in the TOS Star Trek on the TNG channel. So if you want to get your DS9 fix, definitely head over to Pluto and get that check that out. So this week's episode is a single episode, almost a bottle episode, if you will.
It can't be a bottle episode because they used a new set, right?
Yeah, that's why I said I go almost right, a bottle episode. Right,
because it was the dude ship.
Yeah. This episode is called Bound.
It's actually a good episode.
Yeah, it's actually.
I was gonna mention too. I've seen some heat on this episode from younger people or older people who have twisted their perception of reality, where they said that this episode didn't age well because it insinuates that men are stupid around pretty girls. And I go, you miss the pheromone part.
Exactly.
There's a whole scientific explanation,
right,
as to what happens. I do like how it affects the pheromone affects the women by giving them headaches and just generally pissing them off.
Right.
I thought that shit was hilarious. Like, I got a fucking headache. And basically, Hoshi's like, I got a headache because of these bitches out here. Fucking taking all the attention.
Oh, man. I know, because I was like, because when I saw them and I was like going, wait, don't the Orion girls release some sort of pheromone? And then when Phlox said, I was like, oh, okay, all right. So
that's the big canonically, this is the first time they said that the women are actually the ones who run the civilization for the Orions. I don't know if this was the first time it was ever said in Star Trek, though. I can't remember.
Yeah, this was the first time because they never mentioned that before.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
So yeah, and they've hit on it on Lower Decks a little bit with Teeny or Tenny or whatever the fuck
her
name is. But yeah, because the guys, it's so interesting because it kind of hits you. You're like, oh, we see the guys more because they're the ones doing all the work. Right. I thought that was really interesting. But we're getting ahead of ourselves,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of tongues on the floor in this episode.
Oh, yes, sir.
So the plot of the episode is, while T'Pol and Tucker discover that they have developed a psychic bond, Captain Archer receives three Orion slave girls as gifts for negotiating with the devious Orion syndicate, with rather disastrous results. So you want to go into the little episode number and all that shit?
So, yes. So, episode, of course, as has already been stated, the title of this episode is Bound. Episode 17 of the fourth season first aired April 15th, 2005. My twins are almost born, ladies and gentlemen. pray for me. Written by Manny Coto, directed by Alan Croker. Kind of the standard fare. No special guests in the development part. In universe date, December 27, 2154. Quite the late Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Trip Tucker. Really everybody on the fucking ship.
Well, I like in this episode, it was like the universe episode was what, 2 days after Christmas or something like that? It was like the 27th of
2154.
I was like, there should have been someone in the background taking Christmas lights off of the corridor or something like that.
Yeah, there's no Christmas in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Okay? They have lost the spirit. Santa is dead.
So the Enterprise is they're just out there doing whatever. And
they're not out there doing whatever. They're scouting for the first star base.
Oh, right.
They're scouting locations. They're doing a little house hunting, you know.
Yeah.
They're on their way to the Bering Grus system.
Yeah.
I think
it is. Yeah. It was what and what I thought
they're
was
doing nothing.
Well, you know, it's Star Trek. They're out there
working. All right.
What I thought was funny was like there were reports that there were like dragons in this fucking yeah,
they breathe fire. It's funny because they don't even say dragons.
Right.
They like just she say, just and it was I'm watching it, right? And she explains and then they breathe fire. And I just started humming the theme to Skyrim. I was like,
Well, I was sitting there, when they said that, I was like, oh, so we got Smaug is out there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's basically what we've got. And then she's like, these reports have not been verified.
Tell you what, all the humans on the bridge looked excited as fuck. They were like, yeah, motherfucking dragon.
Did you see Mayweather clap his hands going, Khaleesi, Khaleesi.
Dragons are metal as fuck. Everybody wants to see him.
In the background, you see Malcolm throwing up the fucking devil sign and going,
That's another conspiracy theory that dragons actually existed when humans were around. Because there's depictions from multiple civilizations of dragons. Just saying, you know,
yeah.
The truth is out there.
So they end up, and as you know, they have this mild discussion of dragons. They actually get intercepted by a Orion Syndicate vessel, mm-hmm. and basically is kind of like, yo, sup, dude. Put your guns down. That's like
basically, yeah.
It's like,
or I'll be forced to fire or whatever.
I was like going, need to work on your small talk.
This dude throughout the episode, this dude has the smoothest voice, which would immediately make me not trust him. Like, you're obviously trying to sell me something. I'm gonna need you to get the fuck out of my face.
Well, what's funny is that it made you not trust him. It made me a little aroused. I gotta admit,
I was aroused. I just didn't trust him. You know?
But this, speaking of which, this dude though, if you're a fan of television, this dude has been in fucking everything in television.
You're a fan of television.
Seriously, the dude's been on TV. I saw him. I was like, I know that dude. Like, I've seen him before. This is just a small clipping of some of the shit he's been on TV wise over 3 decades. Mission Impossible, The Partridge Family, The Incredible Hulk, MASH, Knight Rider, Bonanza, Kung Fu, Rockford Files, Magnum PI, The Greatest American Hero. Like, he was also Colonel Lynch in the A-Team. So,
da, da, da,
da, da, da,
da, da, da.
But yeah, so like, this dude was like on every fucking TV show, usually the baddie of the week, you know, obviously. Right. But yeah, I saw it. I was like going, oh, immediately when I saw him, I was like with the mask. And also keep in mind, he was in the DS9 episode, I think called The Darkness of Light, and ties of blood and water. So he was in, so it's not his first foray into Trek.
In his first rodeo.
Yeah.
Right.
So
this is a professional.
I was watching something about the A-Team.
William Lucking. That's a cool name.
Yeah. So, yeah. So his voice, the way his demeanor was in that, I was like going, oh, this fucker's smooth. Like,
yeah.
he knows exactly what's going on. So the, you know, they, so we go to the act one and they're still at that standoff. And then, you know, Archer's like, why don't we just lower our weapons together? Like, let's just kind of smooth things out, you know? And I thought,
why don't we all just calm down, yeah. Right?
It's like, you're going to do something, then I'm going to do something, and then just shit's just going to get real.
That's
so
right.
Let's scale it down.
Let's relax.
Exactly. You know, things were said. You know, it's like, I would not exactly.
Why don't you use your indoor voice before I put you outside? Okay.
So he basically says that he has this, what did he say? He wants to try to smooth relations with the or he it was oh a business proposal. He had a business proposal for Archer, and then decide, you know, says like, you know, come over to my ship and then we'll talk about it. And I was like, really, dude? After what you did to the Orions like earlier this season, like this is what you're really gonna you're gonna go over there? And and then Reed's also like, I don't know why we're going over there. Like last time,
I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Last time we did that, half of our crew almost became slaves. Archer's like, I don't need more people mad at us. I was like, that is true. You got quite a few.
Yeah, but it's like an entire civilization of pirates might not be the one that you just single-handedly go over and hang out with to try to smooth things over. You know what right. I mean?
And the last encounter that I remember was when Discovery, when they had that chick that went over to meet the fleet admiral. And then my favorite is still when she eats that apple and goes, yeah, that's recycled from human waste. And then she just goes, like spits it right back out. That's still my favorite about that.
The humans or the Federation have never had a good relationship with the Orion Syndicate.
Yeah.
But they've never been officially at war because the Syndicate, well, is a syndicate. Yeah. They're all splintered off fucking you can never trace it back to the government and all types of goofy shit.
But at the same time, it's like they don't want a war with the Federation. It's not good for business.
Exactly. You know, it's they're like the Ferengi, but with more muscle
and height.
Yeah, and pigment because they're green. You know.
So Archer and Reed and a couple of Makos are heading over there because, you know, they want to just have one less hostile species out there.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, stupid mistakes. So then we go to engineering and. Dude, Kelby, who was the chief engineer, but now Trip is still there trying to fix his bullshit, is throwing some serious attitude at Trip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just, like, that whole...
Like childish attitude, too.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, it's like, he was at the point where all Trip needed to do was just give him one punch to the head.
For real. I wanted Trip to lean in and just kind of quietly... You don't shut the fuck up. Something about to happen to you, bro. Yeah, I'm gonna need you to chill out. This fucking tone, because it's like, because he's at one point he goes, "Well, they have you here to take care of it," and Trip was trying to be diplomatic. I would have been like, "Yeah, because you fucking suck." Show up to that comm a little quicker, my boy. You know,
I got Stewie taking care of my shit, my engine room on the Columbia.
They don't even got no one in my engine room because I set that up. It's automatic, bro. Your shit's fucked up.
Lean in and go like, you know what it feels like to be pregnant? Well, you're about to have my foot up in your ass and you're going to be able to find out what that feeling is like.
I haven't gone for a month. Efficiency down to 73%. What the fuck were you doing? Nothing. That's what you were fucking doing.
Efficiency rating 173% when I left. When I come back, it's negative 42. What the fuck?
Top speed is warp 2.3.
Warp 0.5? Seriously?
How do we go faster in reverse? What did you do?
I walk faster than this.
Tachyons are everywhere.
If he's like, oh, you think you're badass? You think you're badass? Did you literally climb out of one starship into another on a fucking tether bought on by Amazon?
No, you didn't. Because you ain't shit, motherfucker.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Starts barking at him.
Then he throws a Wu-Tang.
I would fucking lose my mind, bro.
Especially seeing Trip going Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang?
So T'Pol shows up in engineering and then, you know, they offer her services and whatever. And then she just starts asking him if he's experienced any daydreams. Like, I thought this.
I like that. Let me think about it. As she stares at her, bro.
I don't. Let me think about. No, I was like,
"Jeez." You know what he should have did? When he, let me think about it. And when he looked off into space and lick his lips a little.
No, what would have been funny is he looks out, licks his lips, looks down, and then goes, "No, I haven't."
Yeah, for real. Nah, you ain't shit.
Oh, man.
Ain't no simping, not pimping, bitch. Like, what the fuck?
As he looks off, you see her kind of look lower, bite her lower lip, and then put like her two like index fingers together, like she's simping right there.
The real thing is, the thing that I love the best about this relationship that they've set up is that DePaul is the simp. Yeah. You never would have thought that.
Yeah. Because
at first it was Trip.
Right.
But my man Trip was like, fuck this hoe, bro. I ain't got time for this. This I'm chasing a bitch. I got a career.
Right.
Okay. I don't got time for this. And then as soon as story as old as time, as soon as she stopped getting attention, now she's following. Have you been having like daydreams and stuff? Or like, are you going to stay on the ship? Yeah. This isn't logical. Fuck you, bitch. You want that Trip dick. All right. That's right. You thought you were giving him pressure point therapy, but he was hitting all your pressure points. You feel me?
And what's funny is that she made him the Mary Sue in this episode.
Yeah. He is the Mary Sue. Yeah. And you know what? Trip's always been a Mary Sue. It's just more low-key.
Yeah.
Every time you watch Star Trek Enterprise and you see that the ship is moving, it's because of Trip. So her ass ain't down there fucking fixing the engine. Right.
I know
every time in this show when she comes down, can I help? She never really helps. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Like he'll give her a job and she doesn't do it. Like she'll start an argument or something and then she leaves.
Yeah, I know. It's always like it really is. It's always like, can you go help engineering? And all we see her doing is reading the display panel. Like,
right.
She's never like rolling up her sleeve.
We needed second in command to do that.
Yeah, she's reading
the science officer, I guess. Yeah,
she doesn't have her sleeves rolled up. She doesn't have her top off. She's not doing any real work in there.
Wait, it's what? Like, I mean, at that point, just send Mayweather down there. If you just need someone to read the displays.
Just send Phlox down there. Just for real. You need somebody to read displays? Yeah, just let's send Phlox down there.
almost nothing was funnier when Phlox was trying, when he was the only one awake on the ship and he was trying to do engineering stuff. He's like, I don't want to fucking do this. I'm a doctor.
So
it's like you have 8 degrees, and one of them's got to be in engineering.
I know. Stop. If Saru can learn, what was it, like 36 languages, like you have time to learn engineering. Like, so they end up on the Orion ship, and you know they have the Makos sitting down like fully armed. That image of the Makos just sitting there with their guns like out just was funny to me. And then on the other side, you just have Mayweather Malcolm and Archer just kind of like chilling. Like they're like at the club, like they're just like kind of hanging out there.
We up in the club.
And so, you know, he offers them a little food. They like, okay. They eat just like a little bit because obviously they don't trust this dude. They don't, they're like, you know, they're waiting to see what happens. But then they mentioned, the drink was something like Gorn something. Here it is. It's like obtained from the Gorn homogeny.
Yeah.
And I was like, the Gorn? And he's like, you know, less about them, the better. Like, we haven't heard of them.
It was funny.
Like, less about them, the better. You know, they eat a little bit of the food. And he's like, you know, he's like, okay, so, you know, Archer's like, what do you want? What do you want? And then the guy's like, oh, it's, you know, it's kind of rude to discuss business before entertainment. We got to have the Orion slave girls pop out. And shit, they popped out like they were in a fucking music video. Like, yeah, out of nowhere, too.
Where's Puff Daddy at? They were filming something. I was like, Jesus Christ.
It was like, holy shit, is this Destiny's Child? Like, what are we watching here?
Destiny's Child.
And then,
can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bill? Big feminism song, you know what I mean?
Right. And then they, so these chicks came out looking like fucking the early ass version of like the Kardashians. Because if you look at them, truly, there's a Khloe, there's a Kim, And then there's the, what's the other one?
Courtney.
Yeah.
That's the hot one.
Yeah. So you have them and yeah, the cutest one didn't have any lines. One of the cute ones, it didn't have any lines in this episode.
She did her job.
Yeah. What was funny as fuck though, is they start dancing and shit. I swear to God, Trippin and Malcolm's tongue just like rolled out of their mouth. I mean, Archer and
yeah, Malcolm. Archer.
Especially, dude, fuck it. I thought Malcolm was like going to jump out of his fucking chair on him.
I thought
him.
He was going to have a heart attack.
Like the way he's like leaning over, like just like, yeah. Like,
which the big point of this is, if you take the comedy out, it's very out of character, especially for Archer.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, especially for Reed too, to be this fucking goo-goo-eyed. They look like teenagers seeing their first porn. Like, they were being ridiculous.
It was like, yeah, Dad took them to the strip club on their 18th birthday. Right. And they're just like...
It's like, control yourself, fellas. Like, what are you doing?
The way they were acting would be something like you would see Malcolm later telling Trip, like, yeah, you know, and then I gave her money and then she gave it back to me. Like, you know, like they say when they go to this dancer liked me a lot that she literally gave me my dollars back. Like, that's the kind of thing you expected to hear from.
Like, we've all been to, you know, us adults, some kind of event where women are dancing, right? And I don't mean like a strip club, just like anything, like cheerleaders or whatever, because that's at the level that they're dancing right now. Or if you go, my favorite is I always catch this show where they swing on these red fucking like ropes and shit at the Renaissance Festival. And that shit's impressive, you know, but you're not fucking going. So it looked fucking weird. Like, I was like, what are these dudes doing?
You don't?
And it's stupid. And then the guy, Orion, gets behind Archer, puts his hands on his shoulders real close to him, going, they're beautiful, aren't they?
I was like,
ooh, bro.
I expect Archer to be like, what's that up against me right now?
It's like, hey, get the fuck off me before I fuck you up.
Have you ever tried pegging? It's like, what?
What?
Like, what? What? Nothing. You said something, right? No, I didn't.
Just let it happen.
Yeah. He just drops his dick right on Archer's shoulder.
Just keep watching the girls.
Don't mind. Don't focus on anything.
Keep watching the girls and don't turn around. It's like, oh my God.
So he gives the, he basically says that after the girls do their little, you know, choreography number, he basically says that there's a planet that's rich in magnesite and basically proposes to broker a deal between Starfleet and the Syndicate for mining operations. Basically, he doesn't have the equipment to mine all of this stuff. So, you know, Starfleet would be able to do it. And I think he gets like a 10% cut or something like
that.
Yeah.
Pretty lucrative deal, to be honest.
So... But as a gesture of goodwill, he gives the Cardassians, I mean the slave girls over to Archer,
which he uncharacteristically takes.
I know. Well, this is not the first time. Remember that chick when they were looking for the Zindi?
Yeah, but this time the whole them being slaves or him freeing them from slavery was an afterthought. Like before, it's like, I need to save this girl from this. He was like, oh yeah, I guess they're slaves, but you know, I don't own them. I mean, technically I do, but you know,
that thought didn't come out until after he beamed aboard the Enterprise and then was like, oh yeah, they're no longer slaves.
That thought didn't dawn on him until he looked at T'Pol. And T'Pol's like, who were these bitches? Because he had an answer to her.
I could see her looking at him. You don't gotta lie, John. You don't gotta lie.
So we taking sex slaves now, Archer? Is this what we're doing? Let me know. What is my job on this ship?
See, saying sex slave just sounds very demeaning to Paul. I thought you would have been a little more open-minded than that.
Yeah. They're professionals, okay?
They're professional sex slaves.
shown some respect.
Are we demeaning the sex industry here? Like, is that what we've come to?
Paul's like, we're gonna free them, right? Yes, we. I mean, not right now, but
I mean, eventually.
Eventually, yes. Listen, you gotta respect cultures. You know what I mean? You can't just be fucking imposing. That's what you said. First season, you said that. You can't go imposing our culture on other people.
Look, you're sitting here and creating these ideas. I mean, you guys thought time travel didn't exist. So, you know.
Yeah, look at you looking stupid. I don't even know why I take your advice anymore.
T'Pol has that, like, what the fuck? Just kind of look.
She's like, what are we even talking about?
He's like, I don't even know anymore.
All I know is I have to go tend to my pro. I mean, make sure
tend to my property. And so they bring him back aboard the Enterprise, and Reed is fumbling over himself, showing these girls. So of course, the one funny thing was the two dudes that were standing there watching. He's like, "Don't you guys have? You guys need something to do?" I was like,
and they didn't even listen to him. It's just like, fuck you, bitch. Like,
who the fuck are you? Little man with a Napoleon complex being security. What the
fuck? You better watch. I'm off shift, bro. You better watch that tone.
Oh my God. So that was, and then we basically go into the thing that Adam and I just discussed in Act Two, was T'Pol going, you took what? For what?
Yeah. It's like, hold on. Let me see if I can get this straight.
I love her.
You.
I love her. She's like, isn't slavery illegal in Starfleet? Like, it's like, they're not slaves, like, per
didn't
se.
Your people not stop doing that? Or, I don't. Listen. There's a lot of terms getting thrown around here. Okay, I save them.
See, you're throwing words out here that I don't understand. I'm going to take it as disrespect.
That's okay. Right. I save them. Okay, you don't a hero,
and they should literally on their knees. Wait, they should literally be thanking. Wait, let me rephrase that.
Are they technically slaves if they want to be here? I'm just asking. You know what I mean?
I mean, sure, the one calls me daddy, but you know, we can't draw conclusions.
I didn't ask her to do that. I mean, yeah, I suggested it.
I mean, she says that. Did I make her say that? No. Do I like it when she says that? Sure. Who wouldn't?
Listen, T'Pol, just mind your own fucking business. You're always talking in my fucking business. I'm sick of this shit.
By the way, how are you in Trip?
Yeah. How's your bullshit going? You still messing with that stuff in the fucking storage area? Knew you was a drug addict, fucking bitch.
I know. So bringing up old shit and stuff like that.
She'd be like, what the fuck? How's your ex-husband, T'Pol? Could make that one work.
They thought about your mom lately? Yeah. Like, oh, Jesus.
Do you even give a fuck that your mom's dead? I'm curious, you know? It's like, yo. And then you just see, as soon as he brings up the mom, you just see T'Pol nodding her head, and she's just rolling her sleeves up. I'm fuck this motherfucker up. I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah, she rolls her sleeves. She takes off her shoes. Like it's like, oh shit.
She takes off hoop earrings you didn't notice she had on.
She starts turning her rings inside. Yes. Suddenly you're like, oh, where the fuck she get all these rings?
Oh shit, I didn't know T'Pol was about that fucking street life, bro.
Takes off that short wig and pulls out all her long hair.
Pulls it down just to put it up in a ponytail. I used to love in school when two girls were arguing, and it was always, you'd have the loudest one was the one who didn't know how to fight, right? And she'd be screaming, and the other one's just doing that head, and they're like, all right, cool, and just tying her hair up, and then the other loud chick starts stumbling, like, wait a minute. It's like, nah, bitch, we ain't waiting now. You about to get fucked up. And I'd be like, oh shit.
Oh my gosh.
Girl fights were the best because they actually fought each other.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Men, boys usually just fucking yelled at each other, maybe through one or two swings, right? Lazily at each other.
Until one connected and that one person went down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, she starts, you know, mentioning about crewmen being distracted by these women. And, She's like, you know, perhaps you should talk to them.
He goes, they're a little, they're a little distracting. And he goes, you're telling me. And then there's one part where she says, I think it might be a big part of their attire. And he's like, or lack thereof. And he goes, like, wrong crowd, RJ. She literally looked at him like, are you for real?
I know. She's just, I know that look. I died when she gave that look. And he's like,
I was laughing because I get that look daily from my wife. I'll say something inappropriate. And she's just like,
And then fucking, then we go back. Then we go to the gym and fucking Mayweather is literally like setting up for like Mr. You know, Mr. Olympiad, like he's going out for Schwarzenegger's old title, like
for real.
And then, you know, they mention about the Orion slave girls, and then Reed is like, Malcolm is like doing some the treadmill, and then, you know, they're talking about how, you know, Mayweather basically says that he dealt with what was it, Delton? Yeah, Delton woman. Basically, that's a throwback to Star Trek: The Motion Picture, Lieutenant Ilia, and she, you know, he on his ship, and he was like, they kind of had the same kind of thing, and he was 15 years old and couldn't get her off his mind, and he said that the only way he could work through it was by working out with his old man. I was like, yeah,
those are the bald ones.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and it was like, that's the only way he could work through it. I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it is like.
Well, he goes, did it help? He's all, no.
But he's like, he goes, but I had like the biggest arms ever. I was like, that wasn't from the weights, dude. That wasn't from the weights. And then
this was actually a clever scene because it was kind of explaining that, again, they're acting out of character, just weird, because he's referencing how he behaved when he was 15.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be acting that way anymore.
and then Reed comes down, and then Malcolm comes down and starts doing weights, and then Mayweather looks at him and goes, you need to add more.
Yeah, go bigger. I was like, idiots.
So this is where Hoshi ends up.
She sounded so fucking catty, bro.
She did. She goes into sick bay and she tells Phlox that she
needs... Phlox ain't looking right either.
Oh, I know. Do you see like that hair was kind of all over? I was like,
his hair was messed up and he was kind of stumbling. He looked frantic.
And she was like, she needed something for a headache. And he was like, what's wrong with her? She's like, I don't know. And he's like,
I don't know. I got a fucking headache.
Yeah. And he's like, because he started saying that a lot of female officers were coming in there. Ensign Keeley was in there, and they were noticing that.
Well, the cycles start to sync up. Oh, that was the most sexist thing I've said all week. You're welcome. Even though it is accurate.
It would have been hilarious if Phlox said that. He goes, well, you know.
You know, that time of the month.
And then, you know, he says that, you know, oh, well, it seems to be that seems to be happening to, you know, female officers or female crewmen.
He didn't say just females, too. He said that, oh, no, this was later. He started mentioning the guys later. You're right.
Yeah, because he said, like, the females were coming in there, and he says, and then he notes that, and then he notes, like, oh, wow, I didn't realize you were jealous. And then she's like, and then of course she doesn't.
Oh, yeah, because she goes, she immediately, and it made no sense to even mention, because she goes, maybe it's just stress.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, there's been a lot of that going around. He goes, and then just out of nowhere, she's like, or maybe it's these three bitches.
Maybe it's these three fucking hoes that are walking around the bridge.
Taking like, everyone's fucking attention. Don't know even talk to me no more. Listen, I'd pick Hoshi over all three of those.
Oh, chicks. Fuck yeah, dude. I'm like, yeah, they used to like the sweet girl, the sweet, innocent girl. But now they want them hoe bags that come walking through this.
Sweet, innocent girl, my ass, bro. All
next right? episode, we're going to find out completely.
Yeah, that's right. Winkity wink, okay?
And yeah, so he mentions that she's jealous. She's like, what, me? No, I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous. And then Phlox actually stumbles. And,
oh, he falls down.
Yeah, he stumbles down to the ground, and you know, she's like asking him, you know, like what, you know, what's wrong with you? And he's like, that he's, I don't know. He goes that he's okay. It just feels like he missed a sleep cycle. And then she was like, well, didn't you just have one? And he was like, yeah. So
for those that don't remember, Denobluans hibernate.
Yeah, which always
happens. Sleep weird. It's not even a hibernation, really. Well, I guess it is, isn't it?
No, they sleep. Yeah, they sleep. I still remember that when he slept and T'Pol had to wake him up.
Yeah. And he was all fucked up. I remember when he said he had to go to his sleep cycle the first time. And Archer didn't know this. And he's like, well, you're going to come back, right? He was all upset. Because honestly, let's be real. Okay. Let's be real because I keep it real. If you have a Denobulan doctor who you know is going to hibernate, why is he the only medical person on that ship? That always bothered me. Like, why doesn't he have a nurse?
Yeah.
Like, what if he's sick?
Yeah, true.
But I guess they all know basic first aid or whatever. But still, because fucking Crusher had a team, baby. She had that that one Asian chick, and I think she had somebody else, didn't she? I don't remember. Well, actually, no. Fucking what's his name in the original series? It was just him too. Oh no, he didn't have Nurse.
No,
Chapman.
He had Nurse Chapel. And then sometimes there were other doctors in there. Sometimes there were other doctors in there, because you know McCoy had to take a vacation here and there. So then we go to engineering, and this is where, you know, Kelby and Trip, let's just say, have a discussion. the Chloe version of one of the Orion's slave girls visits Kelby in engineering and starts giving her this whole tour and telling her everything about the ship or whatever. And As he's doing that, he's basically, you know, neglecting his duties and stuff like that. And fucking Trip looks and sees him and he's like, the fuck is this? Goes over there. The way he goes over there, he's like, can I talk to you for a minute? And he's like, the fuck are you doing?
you got a fucking problem, bro?
So you got shit to do. And fuck, man.
Yeah, because he was fully like, he wasn't working at all. Like, yeah. He was literally just wandering around with the Orion chick.
And being completely defiant of Trip. Like,
right. And they were super busy.
Yeah. Like, and he's just like, you know, he's like going, well, you're going to do it? He's like, no, not going to do that shit. That was like going, oh, you need to fucking belt this fucker.
Yeah, for real.
And then Trip.
No, I'm going to hang out with my girl. But they're like, what the fuck?
Your girl's been with half this crew. You stop saying that, man. You stop saying that. She's
a hoe, motherfucker. She's a hoe for show. I've been with her, right? We don't want to tell you.
She's had more men than the Enterprise. She's had more men docked than the Enterprise. What the fuck?
Oh, shit.
And then Trip gets in his face like, is like, okay, well, you're either going to go to your quarters or you're going to go to the brig. Or the morgue. Which one is it? Then he backs down and then, you know, he ends up going to his, leaves the bridge. But what was funny too was like she looked at Tucker, like the what do they call her? Oh, Dinesh. Yeah, she looked at Trip and Trip just kind of rolled his eyes and walked away from her like, I don't give a fuck who you are. It was actually quite funny how he was like, usually he's the idiot. And in this season, they just made him like, I don't have fucking time. Like, he reached that age where he don't got time for shit.
For real.
I got shits to do. I got one day off this week. I got to make sure I got all this shit to do. So you have that. So then then Archer goes to visit Navarre and starts telling her like, hey, you know, you guys aren't slaves, you know, you guys are like free to do whatever you want or whatever, you know, and then she pulls it home. Well, I've been a slave all my life. I don't know what I would do. And then pulls that whole, like, you know, don't you want me?
Yeah, silly, like, shit.
You know, and then Archer's like,
you can see, you. It's kind of cool how they do it though, because you can see where they fully just give up.
Yeah,
you know, and succumb to the power of the pussy.
Trips over there. See, the problem with you guys is you put this pussy on a pedestal.
Yeah, for real. You need to be more of a sigma male like myself. Okay.
I seen you guys doing stuff that's illegal on certain planets. Like, we can't have this happen, okay?
Fuck Trip anyway, because the whole reason why he's immune is because he put some pussy on the pedestal.
He's all about that Vulcan pussy is really what he's all about. It.
Good for him. Yeah. I never understood why Hoshi never had a romantic situation. But then it kind of reminds me of Community, where they said, we don't sexualize Annie.
Oh,
but
right.
Even she got sexualized for a little bit. But I feel like everyone viewed her as like the captain's daughter almost.
Well,
like,
yeah.
I ain't fucking with Hoshi. Captain could be upset.
Yeah, but what they did with Hoshi is kind of what they did with Annie. Because like nobody ever sexualized her. And then in the moments where she was sexualized, it always turned out bad. Because remember that whole Phantom of the Opera thing she had on that planet, yeah. You know? And then every time Annie was sexualized, it was always for comedic effect. But she did have that kind of longing for Jeff. She did kind of have that, like, she kind of had a thing for Jeff. And Hoshi, I don't think, ever really had that for anybody on the ship. Because she even said in that episode where she was having those daydreams with Trip. And then she was like, I never viewed Trip romantically, when she tells T'Pol. And T'Pol's like, oh, what? You have what? sounds like you're having some weird dreams over there, Hoshi.
What kind of fucking dreams you have, Hoshi? Full eye contact.
You see her
the
go,
fuck you just say?
You see her go like, you see her step up into Hoshi and go like, what are you doing in those dreams, huh? What are you doing? It's like suddenly she gets like jealous of these dreams that she has. It's like, whoa, maybe you need to calm down a little bit.
This Vulcan pinches her and she's like, bitch, sick of you.
Navarre and Archer kiss in this, but of course gets cock blocked by T'Pol saying that they've arrived at the planet. So he was very difficult. Like, I almost thought he was going to be like, you handle this, T'Pol. I got something else to do. But he eventually goes to the bridge and, you know, they find that they detect the magnesite and says that the dude was telling the truth. And Archer is all kind of fucked up. Like he's all sorts of blue balls at this point. Like it's so bad that he's disoriented. And then out of nowhere, this small ship comes up and starts firing on the Enterprise. And like, they never explained what this ship was, and it kept firing, weapons. It kept firing at the Enterprise, but it wasn't doing anything. Like, they're like, it could fire all day. And even Malcolm was kind of like, they could fire at us all day kind of shit. And then he's like, blow it up. It's like, yeah, use phase cannons.
Yeah. And T'Pol, you see how quick T'Pol looked up?
Yeah. Huh? But even Reed kind of like looked at him like, what? Like, this is like that.
Yeah. And did you notice too? They never mentioned it, but all the men are sweating like constantly.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because their adrenaline is up and stuff like that. But I like that was there just for you to discover.
Yeah.
Because no one said it.
It would have been funny if Archer touched Mayweather is like on the side of his, and then you see him just kind of look at his hand and just kind of rub it against his suit like, what the fuck are you doing? So, you know, so he fires and he orders him to blow up the ship, and then Reed says no, like he's not gonna do it, and he pushes him to do it, but then the ship moves off, and it was kind of interesting because it moves off, but then because I keep thinking that he fired on it, but I don't think he actually fired on it. It just moved away. Mm-hmm. And then
It just moved away. So Reed refused.
Right.
He pulled back in his seat. I guess he hadn't succumbed. He hadn't been close enough to the Orions for long enough. He's like, fuck this. And then Archer went over there to fight for the controls. And in that time, it moved away.
Yeah. Okay.
So there was nothing to shoot.
And then Dinesh goes and finds Kelby's quarters and visits him. I was like, it was just kind of like going, oh, he's he would be one of those guys that like, I'm nothing without her, which he is. Yeah. I mean, eventually he says
it. I mean, he's true. Yeah. I mean, he sounded like such a whiny little bit. Don't leave. Who fucking says that? I'd be like, you ain't going to stay? Nah, all right, cool.
Oh, cool.
Close the door on the way out.
Yeah. And then that's when you spread yourself across the bed, rolling over, go sleep and shit.
So, look like they were done doing whatever. You know what I mean? Like, what, is he going to fucking marry her? Like, I'm confused.
It'd be funny. Like, they're laying there and she looks at her non-existent watch. She goes, okay, so, well, that was 3 minutes. So what do you want to do for the rest of the time?
Gotta go.
Oh, look at the time. I got to get going.
That'd be funny.
I got C deck to do.
If she looks at an imaginary watch and she's like, ooh, damn, I got to get back to my sister's.
Yeah, she looks at her non-existent watch and goes, ooh, well, B deck should be off now. So I'm just going to go. And
dude, for real.
So act three. So Kelby and Dinesh are in bed and bitch is whining about fucking Trip. Like, he has a hard on for Trip, you know, saying like, I could do this job better than him because I'm younger and smarter. It's like, you are none of those things, dude.
You are not Trip. You are. What is that? What is that? TikTok? You are not him. Yeah. That shit makes me laugh so much because the dude and the TikTok dude comes in and says, I'm him. That's all he says. And the chick takes it as, because they're in a church, I think. Yeah. The chick takes it as like, he's Jesus. She was fucking what? You are not him.
And then she goes and, you know, she's like going, well, maybe you should, you know, do something about it. You know, what? Mm-hmm. And then basically manipulates him into saying like, you know, what would you do to keep me? And I was like, oh, that'd be like,
keep you forever. And he's like, forever.
And then, yeah, I was like, going, forever, ever, forever, ever,
ever.
Outcast and shit. Like, I don't know where you see Andre 3000 come out and go forever, ever,
forever, ever, ever.
So basically, you know, she has him whipped and then he goes into engineering and just starts fucking. What the fuck was he was just like
just starts fucking.
Fucking no, I'm just with. Yeah, I've never seen a man put his dick inside the warp well, core, was, but you know.
He was fucking up engineering, but the only difference, this is the only scene where it shows that he's a competent engineer.
Right.
Because he thoroughly breaks everything.
Right. And
until Trip shows up to beat his ass.
Yeah, and then the alarm goes off and he's looking around and he sees Kelby like fucking with shit. And dude, they got into a fist fight, which
like
was
like a real scrap. I was like, oh shit.
Would have been funny if he did one of those like Kirk moves on him with the both fists, you know, like where he punches him and he does those like, or the TNG, the karate chop to the shoulder. Like this wasn't one of those, like it wasn't one of those hi-ya kind of things. It was like a full on like fist
like
fight.
A bar fight. Like, yeah. It was, like they were slugging it out.
You know what would have been hilarious? They started a fight out of nowhere. Archer comes, picks up the beer and walks away from their fight.
I would have died, bro.
Like, how did
beer come from?
I was like, where did Archer come from? Like, Archer with the beer just moves it away. So yeah, he basically subdues him and says that he basically sabotaged, of course, the EPS system because, you know, Star Trek.
Right. Right, you don't even have to explain that.
Yeah. So they're in sick bay and fucking Kelby is strapped to the fucking chair just going on and they're basically trying to, you know, like find out what he did, but he says that he's, you know, like Trip's telling him what's going on and he's over there, he's lying, he's out to get me.
He was super frantic though. Yeah. Like he made no sense.
Yeah. And Phlox basically says that he just, you know,
his adrenaline was super high
because of the pheromones that the Orion slave girls are.
So,
are emitting.
An interesting point that we kind of leaned into, but we didn't thoroughly explain. The pheromones are affecting Phlox, but he's not sexually drawn to them. He's just, it's fucking with his sleep cycle. So, he's also one of the few people on the ship that's thinking clearly. But he's a little foggy because he says he has to keep relying on stimulants to stay awake.
Right, yeah.
So he's basically like someone who's taken too many caffeine pills, basically. Yeah. But he's not like, oh my God, I have to fuck the Orion girls.
Yeah, because the pheromones are basically accelerating the metabolism, so it's there. You know, it's causing aggression and delusional behavior, and causing discomfort and headaches for the women. As basically to divert competition is what he said.
A defense mechanism, because he said it makes it was making them feel listless.
Yeah,
which is like unenthusiastic and like lazy.
You know, like most women that you fuck. You know, it's right.
The dead fish shit. You know what I mean?
like in what was it? Chasing.
Why are we hating women so much this episode? Listen, for the record, I love women. I'm a big fan.
I do too. Okay, I'm a huge fan. You know, it's like. I simp a lot. Okay, let's just put that
one. Right. heavy simping at Steve House.
But it reminded me of the Chasing Amy when Joey Lauren Adams is talking to Jason Lee, and she's like, "Yeah, when you're plowing away and you don't notice that, you know, that dead look in her eyes." And he's like, "Hey, I always notice that dead look in her eyes."
Just keep on trucking.
So he says that he has, because. The effect on him is basically makes it feels like he's, you know, interrupted a sleep cycle. And so he's running on stimulants. The only ones that are immune are Tripp and T'Pol.
Yeah. Well, the only one who's technically immune is right. T'Pol.
Right.
Because she's immune to everything.
Right. Yeah.
And he's getting some residuals because of their little psychic bond or whatever.
Right. And
which also at the end she's getting some of his shit too, and we'll mention that when it comes off at the next. Oh,
yeah. So Phlox says for everybody else, the longer they're exposed, the worse everything's gonna get. So he Archer has confined the Cardassians, the slave girls, to the decon chamber, and he realizes that they were in communication with the Orion trader, and because they found a communication device in their quarters. And then I love how in this one they kind of turn it around. Oh, I guess we don't have any privacy. I guess we are slaves. You know, they tries to do that.
Yeah.
You know, tries to do that.
Is this what you mean by freedom or whatever?
Yeah. And it's like, yes, we're run by the Republicans, so this is what freedom looks like.
Jesus.
Then she, like, even in the decon chamber, she's totally starts manipulating Archer, you know, basically.
It was kind of slick, too.
It was, too.
Like, so they're on one side, and she's like, please let me out. And then she starts slowly moving towards the door, like, the button that opens the door, and he was just following her.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, these chicks really got a hold on these motherfuckers.
And see, that's why you need to have a diverse crew. You can't have all men. You can't have all women. You need to have diverse, because sometimes you just need to let that energy out.
Exactly.
And
I thought you were going to say because women wouldn't be affected. Not they need to be there to fuck. I didn't know. I didn't. So I want to take back the exactlys that I threw out, because it's a little. It's a little problematic. I'm just saying, you know.
Should throw a disclaimer at the head of this episode.
Jesus Christ.
The opinions expressed in this episode are not reflected by the Lazy Geeks, even though we are the Lazy Geeks.
What the Lazy Geeks say or do in this podcast are not a reflection of what the Lazy Geeks think. It's like, what?
It's like, so as you're about to listen in this episode of Bound, things were said.
Mistakes were
made. So we apologize, all right? as he's about to open it, then T'Pol's like, you know, calls out the captain, and then he's just realizes what he was about to do and leaves. And that stinker look that she gave T'Pol when she went to leave, she just kind of looked at her like, bitch.
And T'Pol just fucking deadpan stared at her like she always like, bitch, ain't no worried about you. Oh, because she said, it seems like I'm not the only woman who has power over you.
Yeah. And T'Pol just like, you just see T'Pol kind of do that, like, you know, little pop, as they pop their hair over their shoulder when they walk out. You know, she does that to the slave girl.
Like, this hoe thinks, bro. Get the fuck out of here.
So, T'Pol wants to go back to the bridge to keep an eye on Archer, but he tells her to go to engineering to work with Tripp on the repairs. So,
No, bitch. You go where I fucking say.
And so she goes down and she tells Trip that, you know, there's been altercations all over the ship and she's, you know, unsure about Archer, about what he's going to do. And he can't figure out why he's the only male on the ship that's not affected by the pheromones. And then, of course, T'Pol goes, this is my favorite part, where she goes, well, it's, you know, that, what did she say? She goes, since we mated. And then he goes, I wouldn't say mated. And then that look she gave him, like, whatever. Because she says, like, you know, since we mated. And he's like, I wouldn't call that mating. And then she just, like,
whatever. Yeah, their definitions of mating are a little different.
We fucked, but that's what I'm going to go
like
with.
Like, I penetrated you sexually, but we didn't mate. Yeah.
I got off.
Right.
Not sure if you did, but, you know, whatever.
I also don't care. So.
So
it's really not my fault if you didn't get a, you know, put your shit together.
Jesus. So you didn't get off. I don't see how that's my problem.
Yeah. Sorry you didn't show up to play, you know? It's like you look like you out here bullshit.
And apparently they're bound psychically together.
Yeah.
So, you know,
they're pair bonded. They're like two cats that have grown up together, basically.
So, you know, so he basically is has immunity because of
immunity.
Well, it basically is. He's immune to immunity because, you know, he fucked a Vulcan, basically. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. Haven't we all been there?
Yeah.
I mean,
so since the Enterprise is disabled,
bless you, my child.
Damn, that came up on you. That came up on me. Like the Orion slave girls. so the Orion pirate comes back, and then, you know, Archer reaches out to him and says that, you know, their weapons are, you know, are still functional, but mm-hmm. he don't care because he says that the syndicate has put an award out on Archer's head. And what was he says? He goes, it doesn't matter where you, if your head is attached to your body or not, I think was
they
what
they don't
he
really
said.
Care.
Yeah. They don't really care. So, so it's another one of those episodes. If this sounds familiar, it's because the Klingons did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone's looking for Archer, basically.
Exactly. Everyone's
out here trying to collect bounties.
So now we're in the final act and he's basically, he uses, what does he do? He uses the, they have a little fight and the Enterprise obviously is no match for it because it's the Enterprise. Right. And he uses a grappling hook to the Enterprises and starts towing it. And, you know, this is where the plot kind of takes a twist and the kind of the lore kind of takes a little twist because Orion Trader reveals that he's not in command.
Yeah. That he told Archer, you're operating under a misconception that the men are not in control. The women are.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's one of those things where you hear it and you go, of course they are.
Yeah.
Like it's like, why wouldn't they be if they have all that pheromone power, you know?
Right. So it is interesting. And I thought I was like, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So Trip and T'Pol come up with a plan to release Enterprise because of course they're the Mary Sues in this episode.
Right.
And,
release me.
And then, so they're given the order and they have to wait for Trip's final adjustments. But just as they do that, the fucking Orion chicks emerge onto the bridge. And he's like,
they just walk up on the bridge too?
Yeah. And it was funny too, because it's like, you know, they walk on there and then, what was it? Malcolm's like, what did you do to my men? And he's like, there was nobody there. They just left. It's like, I was like, okay.
Oh, no, because we kindly asked them to leave.
Oh, yeah, kindly asked them to leave. Dinesh moves over to Reed while Navar talks to the captain. And she's, you know, because T'Pol is kind of like talking to the captain, trying to snap him out of it. Yeah. And Navar tells Archer to put T'Pol under arrest because she's jealous. And then Archer tells Reed to go ahead and, you know.
He's like, you right.
Yeah, he's like, going, yeah, to put her in the brain. He's like, yeah, you know what? You know what? You right. And then Hoshi's like, what the fuck? Stop.
Yeah, Hoshi had that look at her like, huh?
She's like, what the fuck is going on here? She's telling her to stop. And then fucking Reed pulls out his phase pistol. I was like, bro, we're getting a lot of out of control. And then out of nowhere, fucking Trip comes out of the storms out of the turbo and starts fucking Wild West shooting at everybody.
That's right. Thought you fucking knew what's up.
I thought it was a little weird when he was firing his face pistol at the same time as going ka-cow, ka-cow, ka-cow.
Ka-cow. Ka-chow.
Fucking takes out Malcolm, Archer, and Mayweather, because Mayweather actually starts standing up like, is this your boy? Is this your boy?
And took out all the men, basically, because they were all acting the damn fool.
Right. And then they go ahead and fire. Basically, they fire a positron burst through the grappling hook, of course, which allows the thing to release and actually disables the ship. And I like how the chicks start to make a move on Trip. And it looks like they're having an effect on him. He's like, get your ass down in the turbulent. We're going to get you. I ain't got time for your shit.
Captain Archer runs this ship. Sweet talk. You're sweet talking the wrong person. And they just kind of looked at him like, oh, shit. This motherfucker.
But that look on his face was like, get your ass in the turbulent.
Just annoyed. Yeah. Just annoyed with the bullshit. And I appreciate it.
Dude, he's like that dad. Like, you have like a work crew, but he's like that dad that doesn't fall, you know, doesn't trip over his own dick when hot chicks are walking around. He's just like, get your ass out of here.
He just looks kind of annoyed all the time. Just like, fuck these hoes, man.
So we get back to sick bay and Phlox is, you know, treating everybody. And so the after effects will last a couple of days because Archer gets off the bio bed and he does, was it?
A little dizzy.
And then T'Pol makes a joke. I can't remember what the joke was.
She makes a joke, but in a T'Pol way. Like, right. Her tone of voice never changed. So it was kind of just a bad delivery, but it was still a joke.
And everybody kind of looked at each other and, like, even Malcolm, because it's Trip, Malcolm, and Archer. And Malcolm looks at Archer. He's like, is that? Like, I think she just made a joke. And then she's like, if I had made a joke, you would know that it was a joke.
Was that another one?
I was like, I think she made another one. And then they're over there saying, like, I think somebody's been hanging out with Trip too long. He's picking up some of his bad habits. And Trip let out this laugh that I thought was fucking hilarious.
It was disrespectful is what it was. The laugh was disrespectful. And it made it so much funnier. Because it's basically what it was. Like, since they're psychically bonded, she's getting some of his personality, which I think is hilarious because if opposites attract is a thing, this is the situation
right. That's
happening. So, yeah, that was cool.
And then T'Pol and Trip, you know, walk down the hallway together. And, you know, he says that, you know, he's like, you know, she says that, like, oh, I guess you know, going to get back to, you know, Columbia. I get, you know, and he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that she wants her engineer back. And, you know, but he still has to make, you know, but still has to make repairs to the Enterprise. And then T'Pol, she's trying to elude that, to try and basically get Trip to admit that he misses the Enterprise or should stay on there. But Trip is doing, this whole scene reminded me of Empire Strikes Back when Leia and Han were walking down that corridor in Hoth, and he was like, she was trying to convince him to stay. And it was just that kind of same dynamic going back and forth.
Yeah.
But he was totally playing with her. And he's, you know, she's like, you know, and she's like, you want me to stay, don't you? And she's like, she's like getting kind of like flustered, like she doesn't know what to say. And then, you know, he finally, he just turns to leave, and then she goes after him and just basically says, you know, I want you to come back. She basically admits that she wants him to come back. And then he says he'll think about it, and then walks away. And then she grabs him and gives him that kiss. And then Trip goes and's like, well, you know, I actually made a request 3 days ago to be transferred back to the Enterprise. And I was like, that's my boy. That's my boy.
All the way fucking with her. All the way fucking with her.
That was fucking hilarious.
So, production notes, ladies and gentlemen. Orion's slave girls were also featured in The Cage and Whom Gods Destroy, while the Orion Syndicate played a part in Deep Space Nine episodes such as Honor Among Thieves and Prodigal's Daughter. Both appeared in the Augments story arc in seasons 4 of Enterprise, which is all over the fucking place, you know? Chronologically, this is the first episode of Star Trek to mention either the Gorn or the Gorn hegemony. The Gorn. This is also the first mention of the Delton species, of which Lieutenant Ilia, Star Trek The Motion Picture, was a member. Both William Lucking and Batten appeared on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, playing Furel and Tora Zael, respectively. T'Pol mentions that a Vulcan survey team had made note of a species of flying reptiles on Barangiria. Fucking these names, bro. Seven. The reptiles were over 200 meters in length and breathed fire. This was a nod to the TOS episode, This Side of Paradise, where Spock mentioned seeing a dragon while visiting Barangiria 7. Oh, that's a deep pull. I
didn't know about that either.
The mysterious ship that attacked Enterprise is said to be an unknown configuration. However, the studio model itself was a reuse of a Nausicaan ship from the first season episode Fortunate Son. Yeah, but it was green this time. That's why she didn't recognize it.
Domjot. Human. Domjot.
Among the costumes and props for this episode, which were sold off on the It's a Wrap sale and auction on eBay, was an Orion table. This was the last Star Trek episode for which Marvin V. Rush provided the cinematography. Rush stepped down from the position for the remainder of the season in order to focus on directing In a Mirror Darkly Part 2 and Terra Prime. And so camera operator Douglas Knapp took over cinematography duties on what would turn out to be the final 5 episodes of the series. Had Enterprise continued for a 5th season, Rush would have certainly have returned to his usual position. Irrelevant but relative at the same time, you know?
Right. So overall thoughts on the episode?
I think it's a fun episode. I think it's a deeper episode than people notice. Like I said in the beginning, people are like, oh, it's so stupid, you know, men being dumb for chicks. But everything has a reason, and it's explained.
Have you seen men?
Right. But I thought it was a pretty good episode. It kind of showed off an alien species in more detail, and it showed off some of the Trip and T'Pol. Kind of tied that up a little bit, got that back on track. Like, I thought it was a good episode.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun episode too. I liked it when they pushed the crew in a little different direction. Although next episode for next week is definitely going to be a big shift for each of those characters. But yeah, I thought it was kind of cool. I liked how they showed kind of how the Orion slave girls worked, how that whole pheromone thing worked. I liked how they actually showed a lot of the Orion slave girls. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I dug, even though Tripp's immunity was a total Mary Sue, I still just loved his reaction in general. He just had that just annoyed fucking look on his face, which just
get the fuck out of here.
It just cracked me up. Just like he was so annoyed with everything. It was just, it was great. I loved it. Oh, by the way, in case you guys, in case some of you haven't heard, Connor Trinneer and, I always forget the actor's name of Malcolm is Dominic Keating. Their Shuttle Pod podcast has returned on YouTube for a season two.
Nice.
They opened up season two with Chekhov from the original series. Last week was Garak from Deep Space Nine. That was fun. And this week they have Ezri Dax for Deep Space Nine. So it's really cool. It's a really cool show finding how, you know, because they basically talk to them about, you know, how they got into acting and all that stuff, and then eventually move into Trek. So it's really cool. Their current second season is out now. So if you guys want something to watch on YouTube, you can check it out. You can check that stuff out there. So I've been enjoying it. So you guys might too. So yeah. But aside from that, you know, I thought this episode was a fun one. This is the final single episode for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Because after this, we have
arcs.
Yeah. In the Mirror Darkly 1 and 2. Then you have the xenophobic one where Peter Weller comes in for the last two.
Technically, the last episode is a single episode. It's also a piece of shit episode.
Yeah. I don't really count that as.
I don't either. That's a TNG episode.
It really is a TNG episode. That's what's. God, that's such a horrible episode. I can't even with that one.
I'm gonna set up my Plex server to where if you're looking at TNG, the last episode is going to be that episode.
No, what it should do, it should come right after. Was it Pegasus? Was it the Pegasus episode?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Pegasus, it should come right after the Pegasus episode.
Just slide it in there, you know,
like that Orion pirate tried to do to Archer. Just try to slide it in. Whoa.
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Just let it happen. Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us, themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.